It's good to be here tonight. To say that I'm scared half to death would be an understatement. I never would have believed 11 months ago that I'd be standing here behind this pulpit. God's been good to me and my family. It's been good to me. I'm so humbled and honored to be here. I thought about, you know, this whole week and over the weekend, the great preaching. And I told somebody today, I said, if I could just feel the anointing up there that I felt sitting back there this week, I'll be okay. It's been great. And it just humbles me to think that I can stand here and try to say, you know, a little bit about what God has done for me. But he's been good to us, and me and my family, my wife, and my pastor, he introduced me last night. He didn't know, I guess, at the time that I was going to have to preach tonight, and he got me up front, and he knows I don't like being up front a whole lot, but I told him after that, well, you know, the Spirit moved like it did last night. I said, Brother Steve, you can introduce me anytime you want to the congregation. I'll stand right beside you, proudly stand beside you. But I'm so glad of a God of another chance, brother. I'm so glad that he is a God that knows how to fix a problem, a big problem. He knows how. And as Brother Steve said last night, and you know, many of you have heard me say it, but I just can't help but tell it, you know, every chance I get, what God's done for me. And, I got saved when I was 17 years old, and I got saved over at Westside, where we go to church now, the old church, and my pastor then, Brother Will Guthrie. I remember, you know, when I got saved at that time, I had came down and prayed, and the revival was great. There were several people had been praying, people had been getting saved, and I came down and prayed, and I remember, you know how when you first pray and you're young and you don't know what to do and you keep your head down all the time, you don't want to look up, and I remember that, you know, the Lord, I told him, you know, I was sorry for everything I'd done, I'd repented, and I felt like God wanted me to walk around, you know, on the platform and turn around and raise my hands, you know, toward the congregation, and I you know, hesitated, and I finally did. I got up, and I walked around, and I turned, and when I raised my hands, that peace came in my heart, and that salvation, you know, that's so great. And a little over a month and a half later, in a revival over at St. Paul Church over there, and it was just service, you know, people were getting sanctified and getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember on a Saturday night, one night I was up there, and somehow I'd wind up on the platform again, and I got to testifying, and I remember why I was at the book board, and I got to talking about, I always loved to fish, you know, and I got to talking about fishing, and you know, and about throwing out and catching, you know, stuff, and getting on the line, and I remember that night, whenever I started talking, I lost sight of everything, and when I come to, I was under a bench in the back there against the wall, and I stood up, and I saw that glory that you talked about, you know, this week. The whole church was just like a blue fire in there. And I thought something that, you know, maybe was wrong with my vision. And I'd you know, do my eyes and I'd look, and it was just a blue cloud in the service, you know. It was just great. And the next morning, God just filled me with the Holy Ghost. The same way, I remember coming around behind the pulpit, and I was talking, and I remember leaning on it, and I told him, I said, I threw it out last night, and I caught a hold of something, and I don't know what it was, and the next thing I knowed, I was laying out and speaking in another language. God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and he began to deal with me about preaching his word, and it was something that I had always looked at as so sacred, you know, the ministry and all, and even, you know, my whole life, if somebody would go to running down a preacher inside, it would make me angry, you know, to see somebody try to destroy the ministry. But it is something I'd always looked at, and when I saw, you know, I would, when God got to dealing with me about the preaching, and I know I'd seen the ridicule that can come with it, and you know, the way people can talk and different things, and I said, God, I don't want that. I don't want that for my, you know, for my life. And I don't want the burden of having to carry, you know, the congregation. You know, when I'm standing up here, I'm responsible for everybody that's looking at me. And I did not want that responsibility, but I just, you know, I battled with it. And It was just an up and down for years. And I finally backslid on God in church, you know, and I would bring my family to church. My wife, you know, we got married and we started having kids. We had three kids and God would help me. He would, you know, at times he would come by and he would touch me and I would, you know, I'd think, well, you know, maybe he's going to help me. And I remember, you know, several different times where God would just, I would be so down and God would lift me up and I would hit the altar and I'd go into praying, you know, and God, he would deal with me. He'd say, I want you to preach my word. And not, I know I was not anybody. And it's not that God had to have me. He could have done this without me. And I realized that, you know, he don't have to have Doug Padgett. But I remember, you know, and I would say, God, if you'll help me out of this, then I'll do what you want me to do. And he would help me every time. He would help me out. You know, I would go. And even at one time, I even tried. I was asked to speak somewhere, and I was teaching a Sunday school class at the time. And so I got me a little thought, and I remember getting behind and I was so scared and so nervous. And I got back, and I read my text, and I spoke a little bit, and it scared me. And I said, I can't do this. And so from there on, I went down into that backslidden state, and I went away from God. And I know church was what kept the family together. It was the only thing that was going to keep us together. So, you know, I would go to church with my wife, but it had done got to the point that I was ready to even quit doing that. I was ready to stay home. And that revival, you know, last year that came, you know, it was so great. I began to see things happen. And I saw my wife go through to the Holy Ghost. And it was one night on the way home from service. The revival had been going on for a while. We was on the way home one night from service. And she looked over there at me and she said, Doug, I want to see you shout again. And it was in me, that anger that was in there that had built over the years. And I looked at her and I said, only reason I'm going to church is because of you and them kids. And it smote my heart. And I couldn't believe I'd said that, you know, to my wife. And God began to deal with me. One night in the service, we were sitting there, and I was back toward the back, and the service was going good. Brother Steve, he got up and he got to sing. And the song he was singing was that, you know, it's, I've got it, you can have it. If you want it, come and get it. And he got to singing it over and over and over again. And something got to stir, and he said, you can have it. You can have it if you want it. And I come to that altar, and I knelt down. And as soon as I did, I didn't feel anything. I thought, you know, brother here was testifying wherever he went to. You know, he's talking about, you know, God. But I got up there, and I knelt down, and it was gone. I couldn't feel nothing. And I thought, now here I am. I've come down here, and people know now where I'm at. I've been hiding all this time, you know, and they thought I was okay, and now they know where I'm at, and people's going to go to asking me questions, you know, but I begin to earnestly pray, and I said, God, I'm tired of where I'm at. I want to do what you want me to do, and I just poured it out, and in less than 10 minutes, that peace come back in my heart that I'd felt when I was 17 years old. That peace come down, and just, I was so amazed. And when I went home that night, I told the church, I told them where I was at. I was gone. I was backslidden. I said, I've got to do this over. I'm starting over and I'm going back. And Brother Steve told you, know, about I never had my family dedicated. I remember, you know, in one of the services there, I got that same sanctifying experience, you know, that God just gave me. And I remember I was so weak, you know, that after that service, I couldn't even hardly walk. I was so weak. God had blessed me so good. And during that time, my wife had been sick, you know, really sick with a problem and for months, for several months, even before the revival. I think it was after I got saved and I got sanctified, and maybe right before I got the Holy Ghost there, she had, this problem had been going on for a while in her body, and she was just so sick, and we didn't know what to do, and I wasn't praying for her healing. I don't guess I'd actually prayed, but they had anointed her at church a few times, but anyway, I remember that we were visiting over at Parkview one night, over where Brother Herschel's church is at, and they asked us to come up and sing, and we were up there singing, and we came back and sat down, you know, after, after we'd sang, and my little girl there, she was seven, and she leaned over and she told Jennifer, she said, Mama, she said, I prayed while y'all was singing that God would help Daddy's, touch Daddy's ministry or something like that, and that he would heal your stomach. And it touched Jennifer's heart, and she didn't tell me, you know, till after service was headed home. And the next day, I believe it was, we were headed up to her sister's house, and it was, I believe that was on a Thursday, we were headed up there, and her mama called her, a great woman of God, a prayer warrior, you know, that prays, full of the Holy Ghost, and she called Jennifer, and they were talking, and she asked Jennifer, she said, I want to know how your stomach was doing, and Jennifer said, Mama, I ain't had a bit of problem since Tuesday night, since yesterday morning, I hadn't had a bit of problem, and her mama said, I didn't think so. She said, I was praying yesterday morning, and I felt like God told me that he had healed you. And when she got off the phone, she told me that. I thought, why are you doing this to me? To somebody that has done so wrong by you, why are you doing this to me? And I was just overwhelmed with thankfulness, you know. And I was asking him that, and he spoke to me. He said, because I love you. That's why I've done it. But I'm so glad that God is a God of another chance. And he's somebody that no matter how far out in sin you'll go, and people may look at me and think, well, you were still in church. Yeah, I was sitting on the pew, but I was far from church. Church was far from me, and I was just as wicked as anybody that's gone out and done whatever. I was a sinner. I was gone from God. I was lost. But he had mercy on me, and I'm so glad of that. For the blessings that he's given us, I'm so glad. And if y'all would pray for us tonight, I had a little thought. I'll try to preach over in Luke. I'm not a very good speaker. I can tell my testimony because I've told it more than one time. But when it comes to preaching, it's a little different. I enjoyed the preaching all week. It's been wonderful. And this morning, you know, talking about Jesus, so great, how great he is. And this brother's testimony, you know, I thought, wow, what a testimony. What a testimony to have. And to be, you know, somebody that loves a loser, is, you know, it's just overwhelming at how God loves the little man, the man that's a nobody, how much he loves him. And I told somebody the other day, you know, I actually thought about young preachers, different preachers I've seen, you know, get started and how God helps them. And I made mention to somebody. I said, God, he will exalt who he will. If he wants somebody to be exalted, I believe he'll do that. And we don't have to, you know, it's good to get men's praise. And I'm thankful every time, you know, that I try to preach and somebody comes and tells me they enjoy it. I'm thankful for that. I am. But I realize in my heart, however far I go will be how far God allows me to go. And I understand and realize that. And I hope I can always keep that in my heart. You know, I can always keep and understand that wherever God wants me to go, that's where I want to be. And I believe it's the 23rd chapter here, Luke. 23rd chapter in the 39th verse. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God? Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Whenever I was here Sunday night when the youth choir, I believe it was Sunday morning or Sunday night when the youth choir sang, and they asked us to come up, and I was sitting over here in the corner, it's been a while since I've actually read this portion of scripture here, but I felt God speak to me, and these three words here, Lord, remember me. I felt him speak to my heart, you know, and I thought, well, I'll probably have to preach that, you know, somewhere at some time. And I got, when I sat down back there, I opened the Bible up, and I read it, and And I didn't know, you know, at the time that I was going to have to preach here this week. But whenever the brother asked me last night to have something to say, you know, this is what come to me. And I thought about this here, this boy, this young man here that was hanging on the cross. And no doubt, you know, it's something that I thought when I started preaching. I thought, now what am I going to preach that hadn't already been preached before? All these great preachers, you know, and what am I going to get up there and say that hadn't already been said? And it just, you know, I don't know if every preacher goes through that or not, but like Brother Dean said yesterday, well, you hadn't heard me preach it yet, so here I am, and I'm going to try. But I thought here, this young man, you know, that was hanging there on the cross, and when I read this, I always, when I read something, I try to reverse in that person's life, and it don't say anything about him, but I try to reverse back to their beginning. You know, at one time they were a child, and they were born, and no doubt they may have been born to a holiness home, you know, or to a home, a church going home, and but for some reason this guy here, he had gone astray, and he had went way out, you know, in sin, so far out that it was going to cause his death. And I thought about his life, you know, and maybe how far he'd been. And no doubt there had been a mama and a daddy that had prayed and had called his name, you know, in prayer. And I can't help but believe this guy had not heard of Jesus at some point. You know, no doubt he had heard about Jesus. And I thought about, you know, when I read this here and all this boy's life, you know, and where he had been. And he knowed the end was coming. And I could see him, you know, as they walked up the hill, and they tell me they had to bear their own cross, you know, tote their own cross. And no doubt, I could see this young man here as he looked and he saw, you know, the other man toting the cross, and he was a cursing and a carrying on. And he looked and he sees the other, you know, he sees this other man carrying and he can't carry his own cross. Somebody else had to carry it for him. And he sees how bad this man has been beat, you know, but he's not saying a word. Not a word. He's not crying. He's not hollering. He's not saying anything. And I could about picture him, you know, as they get there and they lay him down. And this other man, you know, is just cursing. And no doubt maybe he was at one point. He was a carrying on and he was a cursing and carrying on. And he looks and he sees this guy over here and he just lays down and never says a word. And they begin to pound those nails in his hands. Not a word. And I just can't help but, you know, see that God pricked his heart and began to deal with that boy there. And when they hung him there on the cross, you know, that young guy, that young man here, I don't know what his name was, but I could about see him, you know, as they were hanging there and death is slowly coming in. And they tell me, you know, that they'd have to push up on to even speak because they couldn't breathe, you know, with the way they were hanging. And I could see him here as he began to watch Jesus and they begin to, but I thought, you know, no doubt he was sitting there and he could maybe hear people talking and he hears this one say, he's the one that touched my eyes and I was able to see. And this other guy maybe was standing there and he said, I was full of the devil. I was out of my mind. I was so far from God. And this man came to where I was at and he touched me. And here I am today, and I can see this guy hanging there on the cross just hours away from being gone from this world. You know, and no doubt he began to get that hope. Maybe I'm not a loser. Maybe I am not. Maybe I won't be a loser after all. And I could not see him as he looked over there. And, oh, hallelujah. Whenever he looked, and he looked over at Jesus, and he said, I don't know who this man is. I've heard the name. But if he can heal the blind, if he can make the lame to walk, this guy here that was so full of the devil, so far out in sin, at least I'm in my right mind. This guy wasn't in his right mind. Maybe he can do something for me. And I could just about picture him as he raised up on that cross. And he said, Lord, remember me. And I looked up, I looked that up, you know, just to see the different definitions of remember me. And one of them in the Hebrews simply meant, in remember me, it simply said, no words to just think about me. You know, I'm a nobody. And I thought, to remember me, this guy wasn't saying, don't you remember what I've done in life? How many things I've accomplished? Don't you remember? You know, and I thought about that scripture there where it talks about you know, when you come, you know, and you say, God, well, I've cast out demons and I've done this and I've done that. That wasn't what this man was saying. He didn't say, you don't remember how many people I witnessed to in life. No, that wasn't what he was saying. He was saying, God, just when you go to where you're at, if you will, remember me, where I'm at, how far away from you I am. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Right then, he didn't have to wait. I believe salvation come in his life. He felt that same peace that I felt a year ago over there at Westside. And I'm so glad of that. When I read this here, I thought about another young man whenever I'd read a story back in the Old Testament there where his daddy and his granddaddy had got killed in battle. And you know, and from what I understand, I heard a preacher say one time, whenever that happens, a lot of times when another king is set up, he will go in and he'll kill the whole family. He'll destroy them all and won't let anybody live. And there was a little boy that was 5 years old, and a nurse had grabbed him up and ran with him, and it fell, and he became crippled on his knees. And I thought about that there when I thought about remember me, and I thought about Mephibosheth there. He was in a terrible place. He was in Lodabar, a place he probably thought he would never come out of here. Somebody that was a grandson to a king of royalty, and now here he is in the slums, and he thought nobody will ever remember where I'm at. Nobody will ever know how far away I have come. But one day he heard somebody coming. He heard chariots coming down the street there. And I could see him, you know, crippled there in that old. And they tell me Lodabar was a terrible place. I mean, it was just the slum of the slum. And no doubt even he was at the bottom of the slum, you know, because he was a cripple. And people probably made fun of him, you know, and different things. But he came from royalty. He came from, salvation. He was in a wonderful place at one time. But at 5 years old, he lost every bit of that. He was gone. But I thought about that, you know, and I thought, you know, no doubt he was there in that shack. And they hear these chariots coming. And I can't remember the guy's name, the man's name there that he lived with, but. He came in there and those soldiers come in and I no doubt he probably thought, now he's family. Yeah, this is it now. I thought I was on the bottom, now I'm dead. And they come in there and I don't think, you know, I've heard people say maybe I think they were gentle with him, because David sent them to get him. You bring him to me, I'm going to take care of him. He didn't know that, but them soldiers did. And I believe they were gentle, you know, and they picked him up and they set him in the chariot, and he thought, well, he's just going to take me to the castle, and then it's going to be over with. And when he come in there, it said he came in and he bowed down and he began to say, you know, I'm your servant, you know, and I'll serve you or whatever. And David had him to get up, and he told him what he was going to be and what he was going to do. And one of the things that Mephibosheth said was, who am I but a dead dog or something like that? I'm just a dead dog. I'm a nobody. But there was a verse there that I read on over and where it talked about, and it said Mephibosheth, he eat at David's table continually. And I thought, somebody that was a nobody, somebody that had it at one time, they had it, but now it's gone. They've lost it all. I'll never get it back. But the king came. And he brought him, and he restored everything back. And that's where I was at. God came and he restored everything that I had lost. I thought it was over. My life was done, but God came. He came and restored. And has done more for me than I could ever, ever repay. I hear people say that. They'll say, how could I ever repay him for what he's done? Well, I may not can. But if you see me a year from now, or 10 years or 20 years from now, you will see me trying my best to repay him for what he's done. Y'all pray for me and my family.